Hi, this is Lizzo, and you're listening to Zoomed Funk.
Hey, boy, what you say, boy? You're trying to play coy like a game.
I could have did without mainstream success. I was fully planning on being a career artist and just touring until I'm 75 and putting out music forever and servicing my fan base and slowly developing that fan base and growing with them, like Bjork.
In my punk years, we recorded the music ourselves, we made the posters ourselves, we borrowed our parents' car and distributed the album. I come from the period where DIY was the thing, you know, and so industry comes and industry goes. It doesn't change what I do.
Incubus, Mars Volta, there was a lot of bands that I looked up to and a lot of people that I looked up to that I was like, oh, I could do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just different than these other people. And I'm creating new rules for what an artist can do and how an artist can find success. And I'm going to continue to play by my own rules.
Amanda Palmer, Sängerin und Kickstarter Queen, mittlerweile autonom.
I mean, this feels like my job, though. Especially given what is happening politically, not just in America, but here in Germany and in the UK, I feel like it is more and more important as artists, especially as female artists, that we simply get up and tell the truth about what we experience in our lives. And if we can do it well and we can do it through good songwriting, all the better. But this is like the last weapon we hold and the sharpest weapon in our arsenal to combat what is actually like the darker narrative that is rising.
Die Zündfunk History of Rock and Roll geht in die 12. Runde. Das Thema diesmal Frauen und wie wir uns empowern, unsere Stimmen erheben, wie Amanda Palmer es als ihre Pflicht ansieht. Die Zeiten sind vorbei, als die Musikwelt vor allem männlich geprägt war. Im Laufe des letzten Jahrzehnts sind Künstlerinnen wie Lizzo, Sharon Van Etten, Angel Olsen, Charlie XCX oder Jamila Woods zu einflussreichen Stimmen geworden. Nicht nur im Indie, auch im Mainstream. Diese Stimmen hören wir in dieser Folge, aber auch große Heldinnen wie Patti Smith, Stevie Nicks und Viv Albertine. Noch eins vorweg. Es gibt den Spruch, Frauen passen in ein einziges Buch, Männer sind überall. Für uns passen Frauen definitiv nicht in ein einziges Buch, beziehungsweise in eine einzige Folge unserer History-Serie. Frauen sind auch kein Genre in der Musik. Frauen sind schon immer Teil der Musikgeschichte gewesen. Aber sie wurden lange nicht in dem Maße gehört und gesehen, wie es bei ihren männlichen Kollegen selbstverständlich war. Deshalb haben wir uns hier für das geballte Empowerment entschieden. I was busy thinking about boys,
boys. Charlie XCX, Musikerin. I was busy dreaming about boys, boys,
boys. Had a spinning thinking about. I was someone who was very in awe of the Spice Girls when I was younger. I felt like they were like my friends. I don't think it's like one person can take that spot, you know, because I actually think a lot of women are doing that right now in their own different ways, you know, from Lorde to Rihanna to whoever, you know. I think there are a lot of really strong females who all stand for something different. But yeah, you know, I'm glad to be considered under that umbrella for sure.
Viv Albertine von den Slits.
Shocking men, turning around men's ideas of sexuality was a very big part of what the Slits were about. So we may walk down the street, any of us in those days, dressed in fetishistic leather and rubber, clothes, shoes, chains, maybe with just a bra under the leather jacket, or maybe with a t-shirt that said something foul. It was very shocking to people. We got attacked a lot by men, physically and verbally, older men, stabbed and beaten up. Don't forget, they'd never seen anything like it. And you might be strutting down the street in something that they had only kept in a magazine under their beds, and they would be absolutely eyes falling out looking at you. And as they did that, we'd swear and curse them with the most aggressive attitude.
Hi, this is Nana Cherry, and you are listening to Zündfunk. Don't give up. I miss dancing, you know, like when I don't dance, and like hearing music on a serious sound system, you know, it's like, it can be like euphoric, it can be like a holy experience, like you can see the hear victory, you know.
Patti Smith, Legende.
One can live through rock and roll just by dancing. There's no rules in how one digests or is moved or excited or inspired by rock and roll, it's freedom. If I put on Gimme Shelter now, I still want to dance to it. Rock and roll means a lot of things to me. One is obviously dancing, and the other is our cultural voice, which has given us so much poetry, political engagement, revolution, sexual energy. It's timeless, really.
The history of rock and roll, as told in our radio show. Part 12, Our Heroines. Sendung von Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß und Michael Bartle.
Hi everybody, this is Susie Quattro. I hope you're having a good night tonight. You are listening to Zündfunk Radio in Bryanside. By doing what I did successfully, I gave women permission to do whatever they wanted to do. There was a place for them in rock and roll. Not as a victim, but it gave them a place. Instead of being a groupie or a decoration, they could be a force to be reckoned with. I gave women their balls. There you go. Did I say that? Yeah, I guess I did. Yeah, I did. I gave them their balls. I did. Because I always had them.
In dieser Ausgabe sind Interviews zu hören, die wir in den letzten 5 Jahrzehnten im Bayerischen Rundfunk und im Zündfunk geführt oder gesendet haben. Wir sind tief in die Archive gestiegen, haben alte Bänder digitalisiert, Kassetten und DATs überspielt und Kolleginnen und Kollegen gebeten, ihre Privatschätze zu durchforsten. Die Interviews sind größtenteils im Original belassen, also nicht synchronisiert, weil so die Emotionen und Inhalte möglichst pur und unverfälscht rüberkommen. So wie bei Kate Tempest. Die Poetin und Musikerin war schon mehrmals im Zündfunkstudio.
Well, you could say that all the songs I've ever written are love songs.
All right.
Because writing is an act of love. Even if you're writing about something that begins in despair, even if you're writing about something that is difficult, it's still a love song. Even like writing anything at all is a love song.
Okay. But this is a...
Which doesn't answer your question.
No. It's true.
The sky is an unusual colour. The weather is doing unusual things, and our leaders aren't even pretending not to be demons. So where is the good heart to go but inwards?
Hi, I'm Jamila Woods. To me, poetry is a way of, you know, writing down your own experience in your own story, in your own words. A lot of times, you know, when I was in high school writing, I thought my story wasn't that interesting. So I would kind of make up different personas and write other people's stories that I thought were more exciting. And my teachers really taught me that, you know, everyone is an expert of their own experience. And so, like, even though, you know, I might think my life is boring, it's really not. Like, if I actually delve into it, when I get really specific, there's a wealth of beautiful stories there.
Sharon Van Etten, Sängerin und Songwriterin aus New York.
I know that I'm lucky to be doing what I'm doing, but it is really intense because the stories that I'm telling people are things that I'm still dealing with in my heart that are constant daily struggles of why am I doing this? What is important to me? Am I helping anybody? You know, performing now, I still like get teary-eyed. You know, I mean, these are love songs about someone that I love, you know, still. And you know, I've cried on stage where I'm looking over at my singer and she's trying not to cry and we're trying to get through the song, you know, and I'm like, we're not really that emo, but this song is actually really heavy. And, you know, and most of my bandmates like know exactly what the songs are about, which I try to keep vague to most of, you know, the audience so that they can still relate to it themselves. Because if I tell them specifically what it's about, then I think it takes away from their connection to the song. But, you know, it's always going to be emotional for me. You know, and I feel torn because I know that, you know, my poor lover, like, he listens to these songs and he's like, your love is killing me. I love you, but I'm lost. people are gonna think I'm terrible. I'm like, no, like, he's not terrible, you know. It's just we go through hard times and I have to get it out so I can move forward. Every time the sun comes up, I'm in trouble.
To me, titles, the title My Woman was not really a feminist statement or a statement on womanhood necessarily. It was just me saying, I'd like to take on my own work instead of feeling bitter or weird about other people making decisions for me.
Angel Olsen, Musikerin.
By doing that, I made my own videos and was co-producing this record and co-mixing this record and signing off on decisions for the first time that I had let other people sign off on before.
One, two, three.
The city's ripped right to the core. The whore's hustling, the hustler's whore.
It's going in and out all the time.
The whore's hustling, the hustler's whore. Too many people are out of love.
Sounds a bit better. It came as any piece of work first comes to me, often when I've just finished a body of work, and in this case I'd finished White Chalk.
PJ Harvey, Songwriterin und Musikerin aus Somerset. In diesem Zündfunk-Interview spricht sie über Let England Shake, eines der besten Alben der 10er-Jahre.
I begin to slowly turn around ideas of where I might be heading next, and it's a period of quite of great discomfort, really, because I want to know now where I'm heading next, but for a while, you just have to be patient. You have to stay very open and see where your instincts are leading you. And I can remember at that time, around 2007, feeling profoundly upset and affected by the war in Afghanistan, and realized one day that it might be possible to articulate that into song, something that I'd never attempted to do before, because obviously it has great pitfalls waiting for you when you begin to deal in language that can be dealing with politics, with huge subject matter like war and nationhood. To even begin to touch on these subjects, you really need to tread carefully. So I knew that it was going to be a really difficult task, but I thought it was worth trying. So it was really that time when I just realized how greatly moved and upset and angered and frustrated I was by what was happening in the world around me, that maybe I could put words and song to that. I've seen and done things I want to forget. I've seen soldiers fall like lumps of meat, blown and shot out beyond belief. Arms and legs were in the tree. I've always been a very politically engaged person, even from a young age, but I didn't feel that I had reached the point as a writer where I could write about these things well in song. I didn't want to do it badly. I didn't want to use cliched, dreadful language that had been used before. It's only at this point in my life and this point in my greater experience now as a writer that I felt
I had reached the point where I could attempt to write about politics and war within music. So I was equally as angry about what was happening in the world when I was 20 as I am now at 42. But I didn't have the skills with my writing, and I knew it at some level. I knew if I tried to write an album like Let England Shake then, I wouldn't have done it well at all. And obviously then I was a lot younger, I was a lot less wise, and I had a lot less use of the skill of language than I do now.
Adrienne Lenker, Frontfrau der Band Big Thief.
My first song was about feeling really angry, and
how old were you?
8. But it was feeling angry, but I was also feeling like, but that's the way life is, and it's okay. Things will come in and then leave. And I was recognizing this for the first time, that like, you can feel anger, but it doesn't mean you're there forever, that it just will move through. I can sing the melody, or like, it's, I don't want to sing it right now, because it's, but yeah, I think also though, we might have all been writing songs since we were little, like just starting to sing. Or for me, I sang when I could talk, I think. It's not the energy reeling, nor the lines in your face, nor the clouds on the ceiling, nor the clouds in space. It's not the phone on the table, nor the bed in the earth, nor the bed in the stable, nor your state.
MIA im Zündfunk-Interview im Jahr 2005.
She rang me and she sang Sunshine's Down the Phone. She was like, a salt and pepper, my mango, yo.
Missy rief mich an und sang mir durchs Telefon Mein Sunshowers vor. Ich bin fast in Ohnmacht gefallen. Sie kam dann zu meinem Konzert und wollte, dass ich auf ihrem Album mitmache. Ich hatte also nur einen Tag Zeit, um einen Track fertigzustellen, und ich tat es. Ich tourte zu diesem Zeitpunkt in den USA und es ging alles so schnell. Ich hätte für das Projekt mit Missy normalerweise mindestens eine Woche Bedenkzeit gebraucht, aber ich musste mich sofort entscheiden. Und plötzlich riefen auch noch alle großen Hip-Hop-Produzenten Amerikas an, also Kanye West, Jay-Z und Timbaland. Es war einfach zu viel. Ich schrie meinen Manager an, hey, warum bin ich auf Tour? Das ist mein Traum. Oh Gott, wie kannst du es wagen, für mich nur 4 Stunden Studiozeit zu buchen? So schnell bin ich nicht. Ich bin nicht diese Art von Rapper.
This is my dream. Oh my God, you know. How dare you just like put me into the studio for 4 hours or something. You know that I'm not a rapper like that. Honey, I am Live Aid. You know what I mean? Like, I am the kid that came from a mud hut.
Süßer, ich bin Live Aid, verstehst du? Ich bin ein Kid, das aus einer Lehmhütte nach England kam und habe dann selbst gelernt, wie man die 505, wie man den Sequencer spielt. Zuvor habe ich gefleht, unterstützt mich, helft mir. Aber niemand hat mich beachtet, niemand kapiert, worum es bei mir geht. Ich finde es sehr verwirrend, nach England zu kommen und einerseits Schlagzeilen zu lesen wie Einwanderer raus und auf der anderen Seite dann den Hype um Live Aid mitzubekommen. Mich stört bei Live Aid, dass die Afrikaner dabei selbst kaum zu Wort kommen. Geredet haben im Vorfeld hauptsächlich Typen wie Elton John, Sting oder Bono. Aber du hörst nichts von einem 10-jährigen afrikanischen Kind. Das könnte dir nämlich viel besser erzählen, was es zum Überleben braucht.
Year-old African kid who's actually there, who's able to tell you what they actually need in order to survive. I think in the beginning people really did jump on like, oh my God, what is she? Is she made by the Tamil Tigers?
Am Anfang sprangen die Leute voll auf meine Geschichte an. Sie dachten, oh Gott, was ist die bloß? Ein Produkt der Tamil Tigers? Eine Propagandamaschine, die ihre Songs von einer Untergrundorganisation aus Sri Lanka diktiert bekommt? Viele Leute haben bei meiner Plattenfirma angerufen und gesagt, die Geschichte um MIA ist zu gut, um wahr zu sein. Wir glauben euch kein Wort. Das ist nicht echt, das ist nur ein Fake. Jemand wie ich ist ihnen offensichtlich seit sehr langer Zeit nicht mehr untergekommen. Das kotzte mich an und ich sagte, okay, geht weiter Cappuccino-Musik hören, tanzt weiter zu einem Frosch aus der Klingeltonwerbung und haltet mich eben für einen Fake. Daraufhin ging ich nach Amerika und machte da mein Ding. Dort verstanden sie es.
Then I kind of went to America and I've been doing it there, you know, and they get it. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make them all day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make them all day. I get one down in a second if you wait. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustler, making my name. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustler, making my name.
Little Sims, rapperin.
It was a fight, it was a challenge, it was not easy at all, but I think there's always beauty in the struggle, and I think that it's just important for me to reiterate my message and to shed light on the difficult things I had to face. Just being like, for a start, a female in a male-dominated industry is always a difficult thing, and then feeling like I didn't have a voice, and when I was like knocking on doors, people wasn't trying to let me in, kind of thing. And for me to just tell my story to other people, look at me as an example and say, well, Sim's done it, so I'm pretty sure that I can.
Me again, allow me to pick up where I left off. The biggest phenomenon, and I'm Picasso with the pen. Niggas always talk shit until I hit him with the realness. Figured I should say something, but you don't wanna hear me vent. Talk bad all day long, I will never be impressed. Don't know what I did to make you feel that you'd be earning my respect.
Bayern 2 der Zündfunk mit der History of Rock'n'Roll. Eine Geschichte, die oft von Männern geschrieben wird und von Männern in der Hauptrolle handelt. Unsere Kultur und die männlich geprägten Strukturen in der Musikindustrie, in den Medien und der Gesellschaft haben es Frauen immer wieder schwer gemacht, ihre Geschichten und Perspektiven zu erzählen. Das hat sich glücklicherweise heute verändert. Wenn eine Künstlerin wie Solange heute ein Album rausbringt, wie ihr A Seat at the Table von 2016, wird das als Manifest gesehen für stolze, starke, schwarze Frauen. Und Superstars wie Lady Gaga oder Taylor Swift werden dafür gefeiert, künstlerisch die volle Kontrolle über ihre Musik zu haben. Stevie Nicks von Fleetwood Mac ist auch ein Superstar, eine der großen Stimmen der 70er Jahre. Aber Ansagen machen, mitzureden, das war damals von einer Frau nicht gewünscht.
I learned that a long time ago, in order to be in this business, if you're a woman, you had to be very feminine, very quiet. If they ask you to do something, great. If they did not, don't offer. Because if you even offer, they instantly go, you know. I was at a recording session with Tom Petty once, who happens to be probably my dearest man friend. And I said to him, in front of all the Heartbreakers, did you ever think about going out, making this song go out on the chorus chords instead of the verse chords? And he turned around to me and he said, you are here on a limited pass. And that was the last time I ever, ever said anything in anybody's session.
Stevie Nicks war also auf einem Limited Pass. Sie sollte also die Klappe halten im Studio, als sie mit ihrem Kumpel Tom Petty aufgenommen hat. Einiges hat sich seitdem verändert und verbessert. Aber warum feiern wir das heute so sehr, wenn das Pulse-Festival oder das Primavera ein gendergerechtes Line-Up verkünden? Klar, das klingt toll, aber eigentlich sollte sowas doch selbstverständlich sein. Eine Band, die schon lange gegen das Business anschreien und anspielen, sind L7 aus Los Angeles. Die All-Girl-Band hat sich 1985 gegründet. Sie spielen Punk und Punkrock und sind immer noch auf Tour. Oft werden sie der Riot-Girl-Bewegung zugerechnet, stimmt aber nicht ganz, sagen sie uns im Interview.
Riot Girls started on college campuses, and we were city women living in crappy ghettos. So it was kind of different, you know, and Riot Girls seemed to use rock bands as their political delivery mechanism, where we are a rock band that happened to have some political lyrics from time to time. It's very different, even though we're kind of archetypes for this Riot Girl word, but we actually were not Riot Girls. We're a rock and roll band.
Our feminism comes from earning our way in society. We had jobs and were playing in bands.
What's interesting is that, like, we're on a lot of metal festivals. A scene that has been supposedly misogynistic, like metal, we're the only women on those festivals. So that's where we're embraced, is by this metal scene, which is, for being punk rockers, that's very ironic to us. But I will say something else, and that the band has been discussing. We do get on festivals from time to time, and we're kind of down low on the lineup. And I know that our pay is not anywhere near the other bands, yet we get the press. So we're here with you now. People want to talk to us. We have a history. We've done a lot of stuff. We're totally grateful to be playing again. We're totally grateful to be on these festivals. But we're starting to question our value to these festivals, in particular because they need women. And so here we are, and we're providing that, okay, here's your women quota, you know, so we may start to get pissed off soon.
Noga Erez, Sängerin, Musikerin und Produzentin aus Tel Aviv.
I have a partner in this whole thing who is a man. And we create the music together. We do this thing together in any aspect, you know, when it comes to creating the music, producing, mixing it, and all the way to the business side of it, which is a huge part. So I can surely say that I would be the most accurate example for how equal this process could be. You know, it can really be equal. And it all depends on the human material. And at the same time, I was lucky enough to come from a place of growing up with always the message from my environment that I am able to do everything, everything. I mean, there was not even a question about it. I was only exposed to it when I met men in the music industry who were assholes. You know, that happens.
Peaches, Musikerin, Kanada.
I guess the thing about sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, I make party music, but I make party music with a wider sense because I felt like all the party music that I always sang along with, especially in hip hop and rock music, was always very male centric, like the male as the aggressor and the woman as the object. So I tried to flip that role for people to party to, because if men and women are partying, it's not even. It's not representative of society and mainstream, and they call it mainstream music. So I think that my music also should be considered mainstream with the flip. You know what I mean?
Sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time, like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Huh, what?
Charlie XCX, Musikerin.
When I began writing this record, I was very inspired by a lot of Yeah Yeah pop artists from France, from the 60s, like Brigitte Bardot and France Gall and Sylvie Vartan. And they were all very much viewed in a very sexual light, the way that they were as artists and the songs that they sang. They were borderline childlike and borderline, like, very overtly sexual, and I found that very interesting.
Nancy Sinatra, Sängerin. Erster Record Deal 1961. Seitdem, her boots were made for walking.
I was five and he was six. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang.
It was all mixed up together. It's not unlike when you think about Brigitte Bardot, how she became so famous based on something similar, you know, with the sweet, innocent, pouty little girl woman. But First of all, I didn't understand sexuality. I was very naive. I didn't know anything about that. And that's probably part of the appeal then, was the fact that I didn't know and that I was totally innocent about that part of it. You know, I saw it as cute and fun and a little bit nasty, but I didn't see anything sexual in it, which other people saw. I think it was more about fashion at that point. The idea of rebel chick came about later on, in retrospect. So these kids, a lot of them, I wish I could sit down and talk with them. I really do, because a lot of them are just cookie cutters. They're manufactured like little robots or something, and it's sad. It's so sad because I wonder if inside they really know what sexuality is, or are they just doing those moves, you know? Do they understand? Do they feel it? Is that from the core? I don't think so. The danger and the potential damage for them, to me, is that whatever is creative inside of them is being squashed, held down, because they're being told what to do every step of the way.
He didn't even say goodbye. He didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. I hit the ground. Bang, bang. That awful sound. Bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
You know, I think the title Sucker also obviously plays on that kind of like sexual but childlike thing, and I wanted to like transfer that into an album cover, you know. And it's also kind of like, I don't know, I'm asking a lot of questions, I think, of my audience and of the music industry as a whole, you know, the Lolita image. And I find it weird and interesting, and it's something that I think is being like discussed more by female artists as they take more control of their own careers and become businesswomen. You're so dead cold, you got no feeling. I want my blood hotter. Not satisfied, I need to taste it. Your sex is so over. Got the gun in my hand and I point it straight to the target. It's about like touching yourself, and it's about like having the power to please yourself and only really being like fully happy and satisfied when you do it yourself. But wider than that, yes, it's about a female just being in control of her own body and being able to do what she wants with it. And that's really the message from that song. You know, it's more than just putting your hand in your pants. It's more about being able to say that and being able to say what you want about your body and do what you want with your body as a woman. And it was really important for me to have that on a record, especially a record that's going to be bought by like a lot of young girls, probably, you know.
Come on in. Wait, so what's this for? It's not on camera?
No, it's not on camera. It's woo! Just radio.
Let's come closer, yeah, then. Period.
Is there a way to like swing you around that way?
Swinging around.
Lizzo, Hip-Hopperin aus Detroit.
Hatin' ass bitches.
Im Zündfunk-Interview mit Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß im Jahr 2019.
Hey, what you say, boy? You tryna play coy like a game boy? Hit my phone, boy. Is your homeboy? Are you a lone boy? Come give me dome, boy. Got a boy with degrees, a boy in the streets, a boy on his knees, he a man in the sheets. Sheesh, it's all Greek to me. Got this boy speaking Spanish. Ay, papi. Baby, I don't need you. Just wanna freak you. I heard you a freak too. What's 2 + 2?
I think chemically, as human beings, change is something that we all have to get used to, and it's hard. So even as you're like, when you're in puberty and your body's like doing weird shit, you're like, what's happening to me, you know? And you question that and you start to get insecure about that. But businesses and mainstream media capitalize off of that insecurity by feeding you images of people that you're supposed to look like and making it something you can buy, when in reality, none of that is true. So you grow up and you have these complexes. I think for me, I got ahead of that. And before it destroyed me completely, I started to empower myself with what I had. I didn't have television. I wasn't watching movies. I was living on my friend's couch. I didn't know what fucking Netflix and chill was. I didn't have any of that shit in my mind. None of that shit was conflicting with my body image. So I had a healthy relationship with my body in my early 20s. Like, once I decided to say fuck it, my early 20s, I was like an indie rap artist, and I was just on the road, and I was looking at myself every day and telling myself I'm beautiful and trying to empower myself with no other images in my head. So I think that it is hard, and it was hard, but I think once I decided to do it, it became a mission. And I'm glad it became my mission, because through that journey, so many other people are getting a window into how possible it is to unlearn and reprogram yourself and take all that misinformation about your body out of your head and actually enjoy your fucking life in your body.
Mm-hmm. Beth Ditto from the band Gossip.
I've always been the freak of the season. Who cares? You know what I mean? I'm not scared.
Ich war schon immer der Freak der Saison. Wen juckt's? Das macht mir keine Angst, weil ich mein eigenes Ding gemacht habe. Man kann nicht erwarten, dass im nächsten Jahr alle fette Models haben werden. Aber ich mache einfach meine eigene Modelinie und hole mir meine eigenen fetten Models. Man kann nicht erwarten, dass sich die Modeindustrie ändert. Aber vielleicht hasst sich jetzt irgendein Mädchen nicht mehr und stellt fest, dass sie selbst Klamotten designen kann. Man darf Wandel nicht zu romantisch sehen. Man muss geduldig sein und jahrelang warten.
You have to be patient and willing to wait for years. You can't just think that next season it's gonna be all okay. You're back against the world. There's no one home to call. Keep forgetting who you are. You can't stop crying. It's fun to get in and protest in your friends. You'll do it all again. And I'm not lying. Oh, 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 oh.
Angel Olsen, Musikerin.
For me, I'm not afraid of being a feminist or talking about feminism. It's just more in this video and Shut Up Kiss Me, I wanted to let people know that I had a sense of humor and that it's okay to have fun. But of course, when I wear a wig in a video and I'm having fun, the question is, so what does it mean that you're having fun now? There must be some deeper meaning to this song. And I'm like, well, it's very simple. I'm having a good time, and the song's clearly about, like, let's not argue, let's have a good time and have fun together. With anything that you make, there's always some statement you didn't realize you were making, along with a statement you were intending to make. And so people think of you as a self that you are not. They think of you as a self based upon your work. And they think this is the character that you are. And you sort of sit back after you've released enough works, you know, and you start to see the character that's forming in other people's eyes. And it's interesting. And it shows you that the way that you see your work is always going to be different, you know. But
enjoying music is what it's all about, I think.
Noga Eres, Sängerin, Musikerin und Produzentin aus Tel Aviv.
But the other side is that music can be a very confrontational tool, not an escapistic tool. Because, you know, that is the thing about it. That is what's so beautiful and complex about it, is that you can feel both things at the same time. You can feel so many emotions at the same time, but understanding that there's something that stands behind mostly the lyrical content, and if you're interested enough, you'll go and find out what it's all about. I think that very, very serious music can also be very touching in the in a cathartic way, you know, in a fun way.
Hi, I'm Jamila Woods. It's still a process. I think a lot of what my work is an affirmation. So it's like something that I hope to speak into existence through the writing and the singing of it. So, my mom is very spiritual, and she always would teach me and my siblings about meditation and kind of visualizing what you want to happen. And so I think through that, like, a lot of my writing has that aspirational, affirmative quality where I wanna show myself how I want myself to feel and how I want myself to be. And it's still an everyday thing. Like, every time I perform Very Black or Black Girl Soldier or Holy, it's like I'm reminding myself again what I wrote, because there's moments where I don't feel confident, or I might feel, you know, insecure about some aspect of myself.
Black is like the magic. The magic's like a spell. Brothers went to heaven, the police going to, yeah, they're going to, hello, operator.
I think people are just really starting to wake up, you know, and I think that's wonderful. But one thing that I would love for people to, you know, I'm glad that they woke up on that side, but it's time to wake up and just remove that gender. We know we are women. We know we're girls. We were born the way we are. We're powerful, we're fierce, we're strong, and we hold it down. But at the end of the day, we play with the boys just as hard, and we're just what we are. We're creatives.
Likely 47, rapperin.
You're never gonna, I've never heard someone say, Bill Cunningham, the male photographer, you know, but you'll turn around and say, Annie Leibovitz, you know, the female photographer. And we gotta stop that, you know, forget what gender they are, forget, you know, what race they are, forget where they come from. Just look at the gift, look at the individual, take it in, live in that moment, get that experience, and just, you know, be a part of that shift, you know, like, but I am glad that people are waking up to I'm talking about some strong, strong girls that are killing in this game. Shout out to Lizzo, shout out to Princess Nokia, shout out to Cardi B, who just had one of the most amazing years, and it was just so inspirational. And none of those women are female artists to me. They're just artists, period.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Yo,
what's up? This is the Fuji.
Yo, girl, where we at?
Yo, definitely in Germany, chilling on Sundfunk.
Home with it, my Zalegda.
Peace. Realistically, if there's something that you have a problem with, take it to the table, battle it with your pen. You understand what I'm saying? My sword is my pen. My shield is my pad, my rap book. That's how I do it. For example, realistically, we've only been out for 2 months. Our album has only been out for 2 months. So for us to already be in Europe, that's a blessing for us. You see what I'm saying? So we'll play in the subway for quarters, because we just want people to hear our music. That was funny. Yo, like this. Check it. Hail MCs. You better watch out or you'll get dropped. On the microphone, we do it nonstop. Oh, yeah. Of a rap. Check it, like this, for the 1, 2, for the 1, 2, for my girl Didi Over. Yo, I was riding on a train just to sitting back, just to thinking back to the rat-tat-tat-tat, the funky drummer da-da, back in the summer da-da, when Pros and Clef and I, we used to form the cypher. The boys with Indonesia would come into Malaya. I closed my eyes and bobbed my head a little harder. I try to exhale, let out my wisdom. It's got me coughing, niggas, put out that ism. I'm used to them type of poetics that mesmerize. I caught you checking with them Betty Davis eyes. Surprise, surprise, you never knew a girl could stylize. It's from my soul, I ain't fucking with white lies. Yo, hey guys, remember the summer of 92? Battle after battle, crew after crew, so hot shoe. The Fuji's coming with the brand new style. I'm rolling with them hoodies from the Haitian. It takes a while for them average niggas to get it, but once they understand, they won't wanna fuck with it. Cha-cha-cha-cha, I take you higher than a bag of ganja. Some see lightning, some hear thunder. Shades of a black man make me the Black Panther. Making MCs wrong when it comes to rapping, I'm the rap Vader.
Lizzo, Hip-Hopperin aus Detroit.
I mean, any time after yesterday is a good time for a black woman in the music industry, because I think that we were so marginalized and our voices were so imitated and stolen and profited off of without any recognition for so many years that now that we have so much visibility because of the internet, because of social media, and because of our fascination with like real-time information, the creators and the originators of things are getting more credit, i.e. Black women. So yeah, I think every day is a new step towards it being a better day. I am in love with the fact that I can look at the state of music right now and see so many Black women at the top of their game in so many different genres. And K. Michelle doing country now. Shout out K. Michelle. Like Lil Nas X just won a country music award. You know, he's a gay Black man. So, you know, I'm excited about what's possible because the music industry is on its head right now. And anything is possible. And I think everybody's trying to like quantize it, or they're all trying to figure out what's the formula, and the formula changes every 3 months. So Black women, we're innovative, we're hilarious, we be twerking, we be looking good as fuck, we say the best things, we say it in the best way, and when we say those things, the world listens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got the world's ear right now, we got the world's eyes, and we got the world's hearts, so.
Yeah, well, I wanted to come from a place where I told stories about my community.
Likely 47, rapperin.
You know, as a Black woman, yes. Yeah, well, honestly, the ghetto. There's ghettos all across the world, you know, and I lived in most of them. And I wanted to finally just get on record and just paint those places out the way that I always saw them. A lot of people that come to my neighborhoods and in our ghettos, they kind of seem to think negatively about them. But I don't understand how you can view it in that way when they produced a human being like myself. It's a magical place, and some of your favorite people have come from, you know, places of impoverishment, you know, from places where people never thought that they would make it. And I wanted people to just to dive into my world, into our world, and just get an understanding of where we are from and what makes us tick and what makes us the individuals and the creatives that we are today.
You love
Nina Simone, Rebel with a Cause.
And of course, a couple of years ago, four little girls were killed in Alabama. And at that time, we got the inspiration to do this song. But Dr. King's murder has left me so numb, I don't know where I'm at, really. But I hope that between now and the end of the year, it'll all be together enough that we will have songs that go down in history for these wonderful, brave people who are no longer with us. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Lurleen Wallace has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama has got me so upset, and Memphis has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn.
Die Zündfunk History of Rock'n'Roll erzählt aus der weiblichen Perspektive. Das war Teil 1. Teil 2 folgt, dann unter anderem mit Künstlerinnen wie Feist, FKA Twigs, Joan Baez, den Slits, Joni Mitchell, Laura Marling, Haiti und vielen, vielen mehr. Alle Folgen der History of Rock'n'Roll gibt's zu hören unter bayern2.de Zündfunk und in der BR-Mediathek. Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß verabschiedet sich und übergibt zum Schluss nochmal an Kate Tempest und Slater Kinney. Harte, aber wahre Worte.
Living in the system that we do live in, which is a hyper-individualistic, deregulated, free market capitalistic system with its roots in kind of dangerous, poisonous, violent, exploitative mythology. I would say one of the impacts of this system on the individual life is numbness. And what this system does to us is it increases a sense of kind of helplessness, numbness, and withdrawal from reality. And what the creative arts do for me, what music and literature do for me, is they reconnect me. They give me an outlet from the numbness, the systemic numbness that I kind of suffer with. And they plug me back into life in a more full and focused way. So as an artist, I myself feel like I have responsibilities to other people to try and do the same, to try and create work that is invigorating and that can connect with people. So that's why I'm sitting here in a room talking to people in other rooms on other radio stations about an album that I've made.
That's the kind of power that this band has, is because it has such strong muscle as a force. The music can be aggressive, but when we're doing so, I think that if we have a really clear target, a really focused point of view in a song, that it can have a big impact. You know, it can be very personal, but if we take a story from the point of view of someone who's not benefiting from the system, is actually, you know, feeling the inequality of the way our economic system is set up currently in the United States, you know, if we can give voice to that person's experience, then we are creating compassion with our music. We are creating a kind of empathy for, you know, for other people with our music. And I think that makes the whole experience stronger. And I felt close enough that I could write it and that I could take that feeling and share it with people. I mean, a song to me is successful if you can make other people feel something just for a moment.
The History of Rock and Roll, as told in our radio show. Part 12, Our Heroines. Sendung von Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß und Michael Bartle.
Next we're moving on.